Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Thanks very much for listening. Each and every week, we try to bring to you guests and information that help you with purchasing and refinancing your real estate or your home, or try to figure out whether somebody in your family needs a loan. How are they going to get a loan? What do they need to get that loan? And everybody I go to tells me it's cost too much. And why does it cost so much? And there's so many things that have to go on in 30 days if you're buying a house, because that's the magic number right now. It has to be 30 days or less, or you're not going to get the property. Even though the inventory in the marketplace, and this is across the market, right? Whether it's in Florida, up in Massachusetts, in the Midwest, in Illinois, Iowa, or out here in the West Coast, New Mexico, or California, let's say. Yeah, it's about there's product. There's more of it than there was at the beginning of the year, but there's still not that much. If you're looking at 3.5 to 4 months between putting a house on the market and getting it sold, that's still not 50-50. We usually look for 6 months. Say it's a month and a half at the beginning of the summer, and maybe 2.5, 3 months now. That's still very short, although it's more than it was. One of the main reasons, obviously, is that the unpredictability of the COVID and people going back to school. Now, I know those things are oil and water, right? If you're thinking, oh boy, COVID, can I go out? Can I, you know, do what I want to do? Can I see a house? Can I go down to my local bank and try to talk to the mortgage broker or the mortgage lender or the loan officer? And then, of course, I've got to put the kids back in school because, gosh knows, I can't go through another year of teaching them at home. I'm going to pull my hair out. Yes, those things do not mix. It makes for a very difficult situation, which is why I think people have taken a time out from looking at housing, looking at houses, and what they're trying to do is figure out their life from the perspective of what's going on with their health, the health choices they make, and also, you know, if they're really going to go out there and see a house, or if they're really going to take their kids to school. All of these things really make a person sit, ponder, and increases the inventory in the real estate market as a result. So if you're not somebody who's sending their kids to school, if you are 100% vaccinated, if you do put on a mask to keep yourself safe, it's probably a great time to get out there and ferret something out. There is always an opportunity in the real estate market. Let's talk rates here for a second. 30-year fixed rate is at 2.94. The 15-year is at 2.38. 2.67 for FHA, the 30-year fix. No, not the 30-year fix. The jumbo product is at 3.1, and the 5-1 ARM is at 2.53. Now, you can see these averages, and that's what we do. We try to put together an average. We go to a site called Mortgage News Daily. They come up with a daily rate of what these products are, but they're really a survey of a lot of different lenders and what they are lending. These are the averages, I guess, or the median value for these particular loans and their rates. And it's amazing that the loan rates are still as low as they are. And I say that because, you know, we're going to have a comeuppance here probably sooner than later. We're going to see the Fed begin to taper. Now, we've been preparing for this. And one of the reasons that we've been preparing this, and on this show, we've been talking about it forever. But so is the Fed. Now, the Fed controls money supply. And they also control the stimulus that they've been giving the economy. And they've been doing it through purchases of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities to the tune, in total, of $120 billion a month. Now, that's a ton of dough. So, the taper, what does that mean? It means slowly they're going to reduce those purchases. And they may reduce it by $5 billion a month on the treasuries and $5 billion a month on mortgage-backed securities, or $10 billion a month on the treasuries and $10 billion a month on mortgage-backed securities. This is what they're debating now, but there is no debate that it's going to happen. It was in the Federal Open Market Committee meeting minutes of the last meeting that they discussed doing it. The only question is when and by how much. And I think signaling that staves off what they call the taper tantrum, which is what we had in the previous, I guess, QE. QE is, you know, the stimulus of the past. They call it different names, but basically it's the Fed either oversupplying certain areas of the economy with money, or as it is now, buying treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. And as a result of all of that, the temper tantrum of the last time this happened, which sent markets crazy, and the fluctuation in the stock prices as well as in the rates were something that the market doesn't want to see again, or at least the Fed doesn't want to have the market see it again. So instead of springing it on them, which is what they did, I guess this is back in 2014, 13, something like that, when they began the taper. This time they are signaling way in advance so that the markets price in, everybody's sort of used to what's happening and not necessarily going to be that upset. Or as I called it before, I didn't coin the phrase, although I love the phrase, taper tantrum. Of course, that's what two-year-olds doing. And investors act like two-year-olds, especially when their money is being lost as a result of something that the Fed does. So they're signaling it way in advance, and we're going to see it probably, I'm going to guess, the end of September, early part of October. They've been talking November. You know, investors, people in the stock market want to see everything pushed off as far as possible. And the reason being is obviously liquidity is the issue. If there's more money, there's more money for everybody, and everybody seems to want to make money, and so they invested in the stock market. We had a new record on the NASDAQ, and we've had several, if not a dozen or so over the past year, records for both the Dow and NASDAQ as well. These companies doing well because everybody's staying at home purchasing as a result of the stimulation through what the Fed's doing, as well as the discount window and the ability by which to go in and borrow next to zero, if not negative, numbers from the Fed window in order to meet your liquidity, either as a bank or as a lender. All of these things add up together. Yeah, that's what's happening in those particular markets. And in the real estate and how it affects the real estate market, because we are in this, you know, COVID world and not quite sure whether we're coming or going, inventory is increasing. The rates are still excellent. And as I said, you know, that's going to change. So if you're in a market, yes, this is the takeaway now. If you're in the market for buying something, it's a great time right now. Inventory is up some. Rates are low and really hit some of the lower points ever within the last 10 days and may go there again. You need to get out there and put your money down on something if you've got the availability and wherewithal. Now, certain parts of the country, prices are extremely high, and so therefore the only thing offsetting prices going up by double digits per year in the last 2 years is the fact that the rates are so low. So if that's the case, you really got to be judicious about your search process. But if you're in a situation where you're leaving an area where you're selling really well, you're selling and making a profit, and you're going to an area that isn't necessarily priced the same way that the area you just left, you've got great decisions to make. Even if the market is overinflated where you're going, the difference between overinflated in a city like Miami and a city like Riverside is that in Miami, it's the most expensive real estate in the country. You go down there and you either want to rent or you want to buy something, you're in the millions. Well, San Bernardino and Riverside, you could pick up something pretty nice for $500,000, $600,000. So you could sell there, keep part of your money, buy all cash here, and that's a good thing. Now, certainly the reverse, people leaving California, going to Vegas, same thing. Vegas properties are averaging price range about $350,000. Los Angeles, San Bernardino, Riverside, as well as Orange County, Southern California, San Diego, all the way up to San Francisco. I mean, you easily could see counties averaging $1 million per home. Now, if you take that money and go out to Vegas, you could put $500,000 in the bank and buy something all cash. That is a sweet deal. So there are opportunities out there, especially if you're willing to move, if you're willing to go someplace else and spend the money that you so hard earned, actually not, but the prices went up, so you made money, and then go out there and afford something really well. Listen, I am Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you listening. We've got a couple of great guests. Last week, we had a couple of people come on, talk about marketing for entrepreneurs. And we have another person coming on today and talk about how a specific industry can be affected by a professional like him. And in your own particular way, you need to think about professionals that can help you get to the next level. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. We are on a number of radio stations. We're on 5 radio stations in 3 different states. We're from Albuquerque all the way up to Lake Tahoe in California, at K Tahoe. We're from Las Vegas to Southern California, the San Bernardino and Riverside areas. And we have all the areas in between that we reach just quite a lot of people. And for those people in those areas, welcome. Hi. We try to get local people in your area on the show. We'll be doing it again next week. Also, we're on some podcasts, and I believe we're on several podcasts, Daryl.
We are on several podcasts, including YouTube, Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, and, of course, Podclips.io.
Absolutely. And if you go to Podclips.io, we're in the finance section. There are a number of sections in there. Actually, they have a whole group of different kinds of podcasts, depending on the heading, whether it's lifestyle or sports or health. My particular show is on the finance section, but it's great. One place, hear a lot of stuff, easy place to listen to your favorite or whatever your interests are. Also, we are on YouTube. Go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. I'm there. You can check out The Mortgage Voice at themortgagevoice.com. That's about it. I mean, what we do is we shoot this for TV. A lot of the outlets that we have for the show have a video feed. So if you want to see us, which I can imagine will be a curiosity for some and terrible for others. But anyway, you can go to YouTube and see us or a couple of the radio stations. Okay, let's get right to it. There is, and I talked about it earlier in a section, about where the market is. Now, every market is different, right? Every real estate market is different. Every mortgage market is different. And the time you are in that market is also different. Now, there may be many things that are the same, right? A house is a house is a house. Whether it's $100,000 or $1 million, it's still the same house. And a mortgage is a mortgage is a mortgage. If it's 3% or 10%, it's still a 30-year fixed rate or FHA or a jumbo. All of these things, yes, it's true, they change, but not so much when it comes to the decisions you make. It's all about affordability. Let's say you get into a property and you have purchased and you are a buyer and you're waiting for your loan to close. One of the things that we in the industry always have to worry about is a thing called buyer remorse. Now, there is buyer's remorse in many industries, but in the real estate industries, it causes a lot of stress for the buyer and a lot of stress for everybody involved in the transaction. The reason being is that the commitment level that you need in order to buy that house is such that you're putting your financial future on the line, purchasing a house, and trusting that all these people that you're dealing with are going to give you the best possible information for you to make the best possible decision. Quick example, home inspector comes in, sees everything, checks everything off, it's all great. You go in, see something that you don't think is quite great and should have been marked on the inspection. Do you believe everything else the inspector said? This is the type of anxiety that you live with when you are buying a house, especially a first-time home buyer. So let's go through a few of these, and let's go through a few of why particular people, millennials, let's say, may have some regrets. When a buyer comes to you with buyer's remorse, comes to me as a professional, or you are the buyer, and you say, look, I'm having some second thoughts about the house, and I have some questions. The main thing you're looking for is reassurance. You want your questions answered, but you also want to have your fears acknowledged. These are psychological aspects to the purchase that are very difficult to gauge because most business people look at it as a math problem, when most homeowners look at it as a psychological problem in that you have to be comfortable with what you're doing or you're not going to do it. If you're in a situation where you are the buyer and you are unsure about something, ask questions, state opinions. Be willing to listen, but also be willing to stand your ground. It may be something that you've got a gut feeling about that nobody else has, but you're right. So make sure that you play that out and get the information you need in order to feel comfortable with your purchase. You need to... Most people get into a house, and they don't know how much it's going to cost beyond getting into it, right? They have a $500,000 mortgage. They get into the house, all of a sudden, boom. Something happens, or they want to redo the kitchen or the bathrooms, which is typical. Or they want to repaint the interior, the exterior. Maybe they just want to re-landscaping. Up front, before you buy that house, this is one of the regrets that a lot of people have when they buy a house. They haven't cost out what the repairs are going to be, because there are some loans where you can borrow those particular loan costs with the house purchase. It's a 203K, I believe it is, FHA loan. There are some additional second mortgages or lines of credit you can get when you purchase a home as well. All of these things can help you pay for those costs that you have yet to cost out. My advice is do it up front. It's quite possible you can get some of that taken care of, but certainly you're not going to be surprised, and you're going to have your own particular abilities to be able to make decisions based on the information that you have. Saving money. Okay. I'm going to buy a house in 6 months. Anybody said that? Sure you have. I'm going to buy a house in 3 months. Okay. Why do you need to save? Because the costs of closing are usually 3% for a buyer, 2 to 3%. If you're buying $100,000 house, that's $2,000 or $3,000. But show me anywhere in your neighborhood that there's a $100,000 house. Not going to happen. Most houses in the areas that this show covers are anywhere from $250,000 all the way up to the sky. So on a $250,000 at the low end house, 3% is $7,500. Plus you're going to need the down payment for the house. Even at FHA is another 3.5%. So there are some reasons for saving. So if you're saying I'm going to buy a house in 6 months or 3 months, how much money do you have to save? How long does that money have to sit in the bank for you to be able to use it? Otherwise, you may have to sit another month, a month and a half, 2 months in order to have what they call seasoning done on that deposit money in your bank account. So you have to be very sure of how much money you need, how much money needs to be in your bank on the day of signing the purchase contract, and then you need to know how much closing costs are so that you can begin the savings process 3, 6 months, maybe even a year out. Depends on your job, depends on your costs, but putting that money away is going to save you the anxiety of not having it at the end. If someone comes to you at the end right now and you're sitting ready to close the transaction and they say, oh, there has been an issue, we need to see a certain credit card paid off in order for you to qualify for the loan, maybe adding another $1,000. Do you have it? Have you calculated that in? That's why all of these types of costs, all of these types of expenses are really important for you to get up front and really understand what you need in order to close that loan 3, 6 months in advance. Very, very important. Got a couple of more things I want to get to. Let's see. Okay, there's just quickly here, I have about a minute and a half. We talk often on the show about discrimination in housing. Discrimination in housing is illegal. The question about how to ferret it out in our profession. It's hard to do it when one seller doesn't like one buyer. And you can't go up to the seller and say, I'm sorry, you have to sell it to them because, you know, otherwise it's discriminatory. Tough to prove, even though everybody knows it goes on every single day. But in the professions, appraisals, home inspection, lending, real estate, these types of things are regulated and are there are statutes against that, either federal or state, any kind of reference to a certain protected group. Protected groups would either be race or color or religion or sexual orientation. There's a bunch of them. So there's an article come across, once again, a company. Now, I won't name them here, but they did an appraisal. And they did an appraisal for an African-American family in a certain neighborhood. And they came in $400,000 less than what the house is actually worth because it was in a certain neighborhood. Now, that is so illegal. And there's a long article here in July of 2021 by Matthew Blake. We've probably had five or six of these in the last year. It's just something to understand as a professional. And it's something to understand that if it does happen to you, speak up. Tell people about what's going on so that they can help you get through that and obviously get the, in this case, these people sued. That's why it came to light. They made a complaint and they sued. Anyway, we're up against the clock. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to the show. You know, we have this show on each and every week, and we've been doing it for about 7-8 years. Is that right, Daryl?
Yeah, I've been involved for the past 6.
Okay. So occasionally we bring on guests to the show who are not strictly mortgage or real estate, like tell you how to get a loan, but we do an entrepreneurial section, which helps us and helps you, because what we try to do is encourage people to do something that maybe they haven't thought about. COVID's a perfect example of thousands of businesses that have closed, but opportunities for thousands of more. Joe has been gracious enough from Empire Home Loans to come on the show. He takes businesses, especially mortgage brokers, I guess, and mortgage real estate agents, from one level to another. And anybody who's in business always wants to get to the next level. And I bring him on now. Joe, welcome to the show. Are you there? Joe is not there.
How did that happen?
I don't know how that happened. Maybe we'll have to call him back. Anyway, Joe McCone, what we do is in the entrepreneurial section of the show, we try to show that when you are a business owner and when you can, I guess, take your business to the next level, take it to the level, let's say you're opening a real estate company. And you have a couple of agents, and you start small by doing 1-2 transactions a month. What is the, obviously that business is hard anyway, but how do you go from a smaller company to a larger company, a company that can help you, you know, obviously do more for yourself, but also do more for your community, the people that you have and the people that who can help you? Let's see, is he there?
Yeah.
Joe?
I can hear him introducing me. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how are you? Okay, you heard my long, laborious...
I did.
Thank you. Okay, so give us a synopsis of what you can do, what you are doing, and maybe
sure.
About what you can help businesses with.
Sure. So let me just give you a real quick thumbnail of who I am. 34
okay.
years in the mortgage business. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you great. Thank you.
All right, good. 34 years as a mortgage banker. Cut my teeth in mortgage lending, came out of high-tech sales. And, you know, I had a great career, phenomenal career. But as you know, things are changing in the mortgage space. So after 34 years as a leader, as a mortgage banker, I decided that I would jump out of the mortgage banking space and jump into the independent mortgage broker space. And why after 34 years would I do that? So one of the things that I am passionate about, Jeff, is helping loan originators take their careers to the next level. And what I have found is that in the independent mortgage broker space, I can help originators understand they have more options, they've got more flexibility, and they've got a real untethered environment where they can grow their business, grow their client base, offer their realtors more options, and at the same time, be able to really be fulfilled in what they're doing.
Break that.
And I'm enjoying that, and that's what I live to do.
Break that down a little bit. You mentioned four specific things. For instance, are you helping them do that through use of technology? Is it old school way of doing it? How are you taking
Great question. It's totally utilizing technology.
Okay.
And one of the benefits of being in the mortgage broker platform is so many lenders, so many big lenders are dedicated to the broker and providing state-of-the-art technology to them that maybe their mortgage bank hasn't been in a position to invest in or doesn't feel is important. So, yes, fully integrated technology platform is one of the most important components.
And the cost, the introductory cost to a lot of tech is what keeps brokers or any business from getting into expanding their business through technology. How do you solve that problem for either a mortgage banker or anybody who wants to get into tech because it really drives their business in a positive direction, but the entry level is pretty steep?
Absolutely. So one of the beauties is by associating ourselves and lining ourselves up with the right lenders in the industry who provide technology to us at no cost, zero cost. You know, everybody knows the company, United Wholesale Mortgage.
Yep.
Matt and his team have been just incredible advocates for us, and they make their platform available to any mortgage lender, any mortgage broker. The important thing is whether they give United Wholesale Mortgage a transaction or not. So that's just one example. Many lenders now are investing in technology because they know brokers can't because of just the scale. A broker shop can't scale, but when you pull an entire group of mortgage professionals together and you provide that technology to them, it drives that efficiency, it builds that relationship, and it gives them a competitive edge that many mortgage bankers do not have.
Well, so, okay, you mentioned United Wholesale. They have a tremendous platform. Anybody who's listening to the show that really doesn't understand what we're talking about is it's like going to the old grocery store and having someone ring you up on the cash register versus Apple Pay. I mean, it's that big of a difference, and it's really that cool. Not only cool, but it is really efficient.
Very efficient. And that's how we're driving the whole service level to the consumer. We're driving, you know, the amount of days to close a transaction is much less than it is on most retail platforms. Because, again, it goes back to scalability. We have the opportunity to utilize a large group of people who are hyper-focused on our success, who definitely make us look good to our realtor partners and to our consumers.
When you talk to a potential client of yours, what are you telling them specifically that you can do for them?
So, most important thing to the consumer, right, is especially on a purchase transaction, and I have two different clients. One is the consumer. I am an originator.
Right.
The other one is my loan partners. So, let's talk about the consumer.
Okay.
I with confidence, Jeff, can show them that I am giving them the most cost-effective option in the industry. I am going to reduce the amount of days required so it reduces their anxiety. I'm going to close that transaction faster. 99% of our transactions are actually ready to close a week before we even need docs and title. So it's all about reducing the consumer's anxiety. Many of these people, they don't understand the process they're in.
You're right.
So it's educating them every step of the way. And technology does that. There's communication pieces. Whether you want to use them or not is up to you.
Right.
But there are communication pieces throughout the entire process. And I hate this word, but it's one that really does effectively describe it. We're going to demystify this. We're going to make it make sense. And we're going to put it in layman's terms so that you understand it.
Do you
That's
find...
the consumer.
Yeah, go ahead with the other side of it. I apologize.
No worries. It's all good. So now the loan officer side. So one of the reasons why, and I speak from a very personal place when I talk about this. So I love originating. I love working with originators. And I learned early in my career that I really enjoy helping people go to that next level. So in essence, I'm a coach. And I invest in them. And I come from the heart. So one of the things that broke my heart in the last couple of years is the behavior that's happening in the mortgage banking space due to margin compression. Every time one of my loan officers would come to me and they need a little help on a pricing situation because they were up against typically a mortgage broker, I would have to look them in the eye and say, hey, we can do that, but maybe your compensation isn't going to be what it should be.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I'm not going to go into all the details there. All of our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I quickly realized that, you know, that doesn't have to be. So in the platform, and this is really the compelling reason why I made the change, the platform that we're in now, with confidence, we can go to a consumer, we can give them the best interest rate available that day based on their unique scenario, and I don't have to worry about being price shopped, because I know I'm leading with my best price right out of the gate. Mortgage bankers, unfortunately, have to play that game.
Yep.
Oftentimes, the consumer will say, hey, I got a better price over here at ABC Mortgage. Oh, let me go back to my manager and see if I can match that.
Right, let me put pencil to paper, right? It's supposed to right out of the gate. No, that is very, very true.
Yeah, I mean, you're automatically at a competitive disadvantage, because first thing the consumer's going to say to you is, well, why didn't you give me your best rate out of the gate? Why
right.
didn't I get your best rate the first time?
Right, I agree.
We've taken that argument off the table.
Hey,
so
Joe.
We give them the best rate.
We're at the end here. 10 minutes goes quick.
All
we
right.
want to have you back because there's so many questions I have for you, and obviously consumers out there are thinking, wow, how do I get a hold of this guy? So give them an option that they can reach you.
Sure. Email joe@empirehomeloans.com, or feel free to call me. So you can call me or text me, 408-499. 2831-408-499-2831.
Joe, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Jeff, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to coming back.
Okay, excellent. That's Joe McCone from Empire Home Loans. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hello and welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. Once again, we are in a crazy market, and I say crazy because the volatility that is going to be happening with rates is not started yet, but it's going to be pretty soon, because we've seen at the Federal Open Open Market Committee meeting that, the tapering is going to start. When that starts, now I agree that we've been forecasting that for a long time. Yes, I have. But they've been foretelling it, too, through the minutes and everything else that's coming out. So the rate volatility, it's coming. But one of the answers to rate volatility is a solid professional company that can help you in any market. And I bring back to the show Kurt Lerman from Logan Finance, who's on about a year ago, and have him explain a little bit about what's going on over at Logan. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
Wonderful, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, and hopefully your listeners will find some value in this. Logan, we definitely are excited to be partnered once again, you know, with Malibu, and helping you guys out with your non-agency needs. And for your listeners, that's your non Fannie Freddie conventional products, and not your FHA or VA loan. So it's everything but those standard products. So more jumbo bank statement type loans for your self-employed borrowers, debt service coverage for some of your investors. And if you have any foreign nationals listening into the program that are buying second homes or investment properties, we can qualify those borrowers as well.
You know, we talk rates a lot on the show, and rightfully so. Most people just think about costs and they think rate. There's a lot of other things that go into underwriting a file. In the space that you guys are experts in, do you see much of a difference in rate? I mean, really? Is it half a point, three quarters of a point between what you're putting in the marketplace and what is out there in a conventional type loan setting?
You know, it definitely depends on the borrower's credit qualification, how much they're putting down, that kind of stuff. Is, as you know, they are a little bit higher in yield, and there's a little bit more risk associated, especially when we're qualifying off just the rental income of the property. Let's say we'll be more in the threes to fours, sometimes up in the fives, depending on the credit profile of the borrower. And the LTV. bank statements and some of the full doc, we can still be pretty low, low threes. So, you know, historically, those are incredible rates, as you and I both know.
Yes.
But as of recently, in the last year and a half, those seem like higher rates, right? But borrowers still are qualifying very nicely, getting in payments that they can afford, you know, like the cash flow, the debt service coverage ratio. We look at the cash flow of the property. We can even do properties where the property's not cash flowing for borrowers. So ultimately, everything is payment-driven. You know, borrowers are looking at payment. The nice thing is we're able to still qualify them with payments that are reasonable.
Now, a lot of these loans, you either have to hold or sell them to non-GSEs, non-Fetty, non-Fannie. The securitization of those loans in order to refund the pool that you guys all use, do you hold on to your own loans? Do you sell them off? What do you do with them?
That's awesome, and that's the reason, Jeff, why I came to Logan, and I wanted you guys to get partnered with us, giving you a really direct access to a huge capital partner. We were bought by this summer by I think the second largest private asset management company in the world. They have close to $500 billion under management.
Okay,
they were buying non-agency loans since the kind of comeback of them. Late 2015, 2016,
right,
and doing their own securitization, one of the few doing that, and they liked the product, but they did not have an origination arm of a wholesale channel to help brokers and bankers such as yourself get this product in your hands. And so when the credit crunch happened in 2020, they could have stayed in business doing loans with it, you know, just start portfolioing them until the securitization market came back. But they weren't operating on a origination or TPO, third-party originator basis. They were just buying closed loans in the secondary, right?
Right, right.
And so this big push this year was to buy a company like Logan, very clean, easy. They could bring in their management from around the country. You'll see C-suite folks have come from several of the top originators around the country. And then folks like myself with 20 plus years of experience in the residential market. So we're here to help you guys. And to answer your question, we have the ability to portfolio if we need to, and we also have the ability to securitize if we need to. So we look at it from a best execution. The nice thing is you're a direct source. You're not having to sell to us, and then we're selling
to somebody else. So there's not a secondary level of underwriting. No, I understand that. It's about speed in a lot of transactions, especially in this kind of real estate market. You want to be able to get to the purchase as quickly as you can, and it sounds like because you have this advantage, you can do that.
100%. And that's especially, you know, with your non-owner investor borrowers, as you know, cash purchases have had to be the norm for the last, you know, little bit.
While that's right.
Credit freeze was going on, but now we're back with these type of products that they can close very quickly. You know, I'm talking 7-10 days or less, depending on if they have the appraisal already. Usually on our files, we're just waiting for the appraisal to be completed, and then we go straight to docs and funding.
What is the, what credit requirements for some of these loans, you said, kind of vary. Give us an idea of what kind of loan requires what kind of credit score.
Absolutely. For our debt service coverage investor product where we're qualifying off the rental income of the property, we'll go as low as a 680 if you have a cash-flowing property.
Okay.
If you're non-cash-flowing and you're going off...
projections,
You're going off a 700 credit score for those borrowers. But then full doc and bank statement loans will go as low as 620.
Okay.
And then foreign nationals, we will go down to 680, but most foreign national investors don't have U.S. credit scores, so we take it as a no score, and then we put them under the 680 bucket as well.
You see the market the way it is. My own prognostication about the next 6 to 18 months is that the non-QM or non-qualified mortgage and that space, those products that you've just mentioned will be more in demand as we have tapering and the rates go up, just simply because fewer and fewer people are going to be able to qualify for regular conventional loans. What's your thought on that?
Absolutely. The private sector is definitely coming back into the lending, such as our fund that backs us.
Right.
So the GSEs are starting to tighten their guidelines.
Yep.
Where they had to loosen because everything had to go into Fannie, Freddie, or Ginnie and VA-type lending there for quite a while. So they've been changing their stance on even non-owner-occupied and so forth. So we think that this is only going to continue to increase, just like you said. Therefore, you know, big money's coming into this space.
Yep.
To provide liquidity to help borrowers, and then obviously they're in it for making a yield, and it has to be they're looking at make sense deals, and the performance has been very good, even leading up to the COVID credit crunch that ceased the securitization market. The assets were performing very, very well.
Right, I mean, I've read that.
Credit scores, yep. Credit scores were up north of 700 on average for the
yep.
securitization pool, and the LTVs was in the low 70s, I believe, on average. So
that's
for
awesome.
The most part,
really,
good qualifying borrowers. Like I said, you know, in rates and payment that they can afford and or have cash flowing or properties that they can manage.
Hey, we've been speaking to Kurt Lerman from Logan Finance. Kurt, could you shout out a phone number, a way by which people who have some scenarios, they want to talk to a real professional, can get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my number is 206-696-1647. You can always shoot me a text or give me a ring, and I'd be happy to help you.
Okay, excellent. Kurt, thanks very much for coming on the show. Want to do it before another year goes by. Boy, that was a fast year.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it really, really is. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Wonderful, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much once again to tune in and listen to what we have to say about mortgages and real estate and a lot of other things that affect what's going on in this particular market. Market changes all the time. It's like, how can I compare it to anything that may be relevant? Gas prices, for one thing, changes all the time. We've seen gas prices this year go up to $4.50, almost $5. Now, in a state like California versus a state like New Mexico or a state like Arizona or even, you know, out in the Midwest, Texas, a lot of the prices here are government because they charge a tax, a buck a gallon. Now, that particular scenario, based on you having to spend, if you drive in California, you know, 30,000 miles a year, well, that's, you figure it out. It's an extra $30,000 in taxes that you pay here that you wouldn't pay somewhere else. Now, that's volatility. If you don't have to pay that in Texas, and a matter of fact, you don't even have to pay the $3.50 a gallon, you're paying a buck $1.50 a gallon, yeah, you're saving almost $80,000, $90,000 a year if you're driving 30,000 miles. That's a big deal. That's volatility. Well, in mortgages, we see that all the time. We see the rate go up and down quarter, eight, half, and that will happen a lot more in the future because of the fact that we've about ready to start tapering, the ending of buying of mortgage-backed securities and the end of buying of bonds by the Fed from the Treasury. So even with some mortgages, refi rates under 3%, can you get that? Even some mortgages, refi rates under 3%, consider these eight things before your mortgage. Okay, I'm reading, obviously you know that, Allison Wolfson wrote a great article about this. Now, I bring this up now because, again, there are things that you can avoid and it'll save yourself a ton of money on the rate. We talked about gas prices. We'll talk about rate and why that's going to change up and down. But what can you do in order to control some of these issues? So I've got the big eight here, and I'll go through them right now for you. Number one, He didn't check your credit report. Now, okay, we preach a lot on this show. Several simple things you have to do before you get a mortgage, before you try to get a mortgage. 6-8 months out, we talked some about considering costs, what it's going to cost you, how you got to begin to save. Well, in this particular round of the Big Eight questions, the credit report is so important. We had a guest on earlier, Kurt Lerman from Logan Finance, who talked about the difference of maybe 1-2 points based on your credit score. Most loans require to get the best rate 720 and above FICO score. Now, oddly enough, and you may not know this, obviously, 700 FICO score is the average credit score. Now, that's amazing. When I was, 20, 25 years ago, when I was getting my mortgage, I had a 620. I was thinking I was just great. Most of the mortgages at that time were between 620 and 640, at least what I was getting. But most credit scores today are 700 and above. So what is your credit score? Now, there are a number of free sites you can go to checkmycredit.com. Like I say, Google it, search it. Find out your credit score, and then if you need to fix it, you need to find somebody who can help you do that. There are a number of companies out there that can do that. You can do it yourself if you've got disputed items on your credit score. The problem with it is it's a long process. If you need something done quickly, you need to employ people in that industry. If you pull a credit report with a loan officer or somebody at the bank, they are supposed to help you improve your credit score by doing what they call a what-if scenario on their particular credit pulls. What-if scenarios say if you raise your credit score by X amount of points, you will be able to save this amount of money with this rate. Now, how do you get there? It's also supposed to help you do that too. Number two, you ignored facts beyond the interest rate. Yes, the interest rate is important, but Brian Walsh, Senior Manager Planning and Certified Financial Planner at SoFi, says... Yes, I'm reading again. 3% interest rate from one lender is not the same as the 3% interest rate at another lender. So when you shop around, the fees that you are paying to the particular lender. Now, what do I mean? I mean appraisal fee, underwriting fee, funding fee, doc prep fee. All of these add to the APR, the APR is different than the rate, so make sure that you're comparing APRs to APRs, and that's the best way by which you can make sure that you're paying as least fees as possible. Number three, you didn't get quotes from multiple lenders. Always. Oh, I mean, preaching from day one, 100 years ago when we started this show with Rocks, shop around. People are, look, most people in most businesses are motivated by making money. That's just the way it's set up here. It's not evil. It's not bad. It is the way it is. So if you are not interested in saving yourself money by checking with 3 to 5 different people about the cost of what you're going to do, then that's on you. But if you do that, you can not only compare, but you can offset one with the other, saying, hey, this is what I'm offered here. Can you do better? That's a great way to do it, and it's a great way by which you can get some terrific savings on your loan. Number four, you didn't look into closing costs. Okay, we talked about this earlier in the show. Closing costs are those items that you have to pay one time in order to close the loan, i.e. title, escrow, appraisal, credit report. All these are one-time fees, and all of these have to be, you know, paid. But you need to shop around for those as well. It's your money, so nobody else is going to do it for you. Make sure that you're getting a reasonable price that you can rely upon, and make sure that the, what you need, like for instance, I had someone the other day who told me, look, I had an appraisal report. It was for a debt service loan, which means that the property was going to be rented out, but the appraisal did not include the rent rolls for what that particular property in that particular neighborhood would garner. What happened? They had to pay an additional $600 to have them do that report. Make sure you get what you're paying for. Number six, you didn't take into account your current and expected income. You're 35 years old right now, and you're making $80,000 a year. Your particular partner is making $80,000, $160,000 a year. You want to get into a mortgage that it is costing you $5,000 a month to get that mortgage over a 30-year period. Can you expect to be making that money in 25 years? Make sure you account for that, because that particular amortized mortgage does not go away. Conversely, if you're going to make more than that, what are you doing in order to save some certain amount of money if a catastrophic illness or something else happens? Yes, there is mortgage insurance. Yes, there is all kinds of catastrophic health insurance, but that mortgage stays the same for 30 years if you stay in that property. Make sure you plan for it, make sure that you're budgeting for it, and make sure that the money you're making today is the money you're going to be making then. Also, number seven, here we go. You ignored how long you plan to live in the home. Okay, that's exactly what I was just talking about. Most people in most places live there average 7 years, 7 to 10 years, let's say that. But I know many people that have been there for a long, 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 long time. If you are thinking of moving within 5 years, there's some great loan products out there that aren't 30-year fixed and have a much cheaper rate. The difference between a 30-year fixed and a 5-1 ARM is about a half a point today. So make sure that you really know how long you're going to be staying at that property so that you can make the best choice possible when it comes to what type of loan product you're going to get. You don't want to get stuck into a 30-year payment if you're moving in 3 years. That just doesn't make sense. You should get into a product that pays you have to pay the least amount of money for the time that you're going to spend in the product. In the home. Obviously, for those people who want a long term purchase and a 30-year fixed rate, what they're talking about is, I want to know what my payment is today. I want to know what my payment is for 360 payments. That's a lot. And remember, the interest rate is what you pay up front. So the first 10 years is 85, 90% interest rate. So that's why I say, if it's a shorter term, make sure that you're paying the least. Maybe a 5-1 ARM would be better, a 7-1 ARM. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate it. Love the show today. Love everybody who gets to me with their comments, either through the Mortgage Voice website or through YouTube. We're certainly all over the internet. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is the Mortgage Voice, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to the Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.MalibuFunding.net.